This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Elon Swirlovich, and he has become well known recently for standing up for police and being outspoken on the issue of identity politics. Elon, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you doing?
It's good to have you. So you're coming to us from my hometown of Los Angeles, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And did you sort of make your mark as an actor, or what was the genesis of your career?
Combination of the acting and the watch company.
Mm-hmm.
I started acting when I was young. I just always liked it. I liked expressing myself. Art was always something that was interesting to me. So I'd always been involved in that space. And I've been lucky. I've had a pretty good career. It was a lot of work. I got accepted on scholarship to a school in New York. And then I ended up on some TV shows. And then I had a really rough period where I couldn't get anything. And then lately it's been on a good upward trajectory.
Right.
And my watch company, I started about 8-9 years ago. And I've always treated it as if they're art pieces you wear on your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been lucky there as well. It's gone well.
Good stuff. So is being in The Walking Dead, is that your most recent part?
No, I did The Walking Dead, and then I've done a bunch of parts since then. I was in a movie called Deepwater Horizon. I was in The Big Short, which was an Oscar-winning film.
Yeah, Big Short was great. We talk about it all the time to our listeners because we cover so many financial topics.
Yeah, and then I was in a Netflix series called Slasher, where I was one of the main actors, which is an anthology series. And right now I'm on another show which got put on hold with coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. So. Good stuff. Okay, so share with us some of your thoughts on police. I mean, this is obviously in the news nowadays. It seems the world has gone crazy with identity politics. And I think we're going down a dangerous path on multiple fronts. This defunding of police departments, very, very dangerous idea. And identity politics is really, it can be very misleading, and it can really obscure the truth. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think anytime you classify people based on their race, based on their sexual orientation, based on their gender, I think you're doing a disservice to humanity. I think that's an easy way to dehumanize each other. That's mm-hmm. a good way to segregate each other. It's also yeah. a good way to attack freedom of speech, because if you're not an individual, what you say fundamentally doesn't matter. You're represented by your group, mm-hmm. right? If I'm defined by, let's say my mother, she escaped Baghdad, Iraq. So mm-hmm. let's say I'm defined by that. That's my number one identity now. That's what defines me. And all my views have to come from the same kind of history and the group that represents that struggle or whatever that is. Then me as an individual has no real opinion.
Right.
I don't have any type of, you know, self-fulfillment in the world. I'm defined by this. And so we're doing that to everyone.
Right.
We're saying this is your background, or this is your skin color, or this is whatever that thing. And so we're stealing people's freedom of expression, their freedom to think for themselves. And we see the negative effects of it very quickly. When you dehumanize people, it makes it very easy to be violent toward them mm-hmm. or to put them down or to not have a free exchange of ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because, and you know, you're making me think of one of my favorite quotes from Ayn Rand, which you probably know about what I'm about to say is, you know, that there is no such thing as classifying people in groups. There's no such thing as group rights. And that's why identity politics is a completely misleading idea. There are only individual rights, because the smallest minority in the world is the individual. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're classified by a group, of course, you have to take on every supposed belief that group has, mm-hmm. and you are stuck in your history. And you alluded to that, but expand on that idea.
Well, I mean, it's essentially just that once you're defined, essentially, like you just said, Ayn Rand put it perfectly. The individual is the ultimate form of freedom, is the ultimate place to define rights. The end result of identity politics, when broken down more and more and more and more, is that you realize inevitably, right, that someone's an individual.
Mm-hmm.
If you took identity politics to the highest degree, to the millionth degree, and looked for every difference that you could form a group based off of, it would get smaller and smaller and smaller until you realize this individual here is defined by all these unique qualities. That's where the beauty of humanity comes in. And we've also tied in this intersectional approach now, where you're not allowed to only care about your own group. You now have to adopt the views of other groups, which fit into the hierarchy of identity politics. In other words, if I want to go save the ocean, I also have to care about LGBTQ, and I have to care about this. It can't just be about the cause I'm doing.
Right.
And yes, so tying into that issue you were talking about, history is once you perceive yourself and once you define yourself based on your history, if that may be oppressive or that may be one that is full of tragedy, you see no opportunity for yourself in the future. You do not see yourself as having authority over your own life. And once you don't see yourself as having authority over your own life, you can't succeed. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're at the whim of everyone else. Mm-hmm. I'm in my position because the world put me here.
Right.
I'm in my position because society is unfair. I'm in my position because of my identity, because of my history. I have no way out. And if you can truly get people to believe that, then you can actually get them to not have opportunity, to not excel.
Right. And what's so fascinating and just so wrong about this is that the people who are outraged, mostly on the left, of course, are the ones that are clamoring for rights. And yet they are actually defeating their own cause, assuming their cause is legitimate in the first place, which...
Yeah.
I would argue that the cause, it's never really about the cause. It's about something else, possibly. But, you know, your thoughts.
Well, there's two elements to that. There's kind of the element of it that, so the mass percentage of people out there don't necessarily have insidious intentions. There is a small percentage of people who hijack these groups or who are behind these groups, who may be funding these groups, who have, you know, more malicious intent and have, if I were to say, honestly, the leader of BLM openly came out and expressed that she's a Marxist and that she's a trained Marxist. So, I mean, there are people who have other ideals that they're trying to push on society. You see on the BLM website, for example, they're trying to break down the nuclear family. They openly don't mention fathers on their website when they talk about the family structure. They specifically talk about everyone else, but not fathers. And so, of course, there are people within organizations that have malicious intent. The more dangerous, or not malicious in their view, they just want to restructure society in their vision, which is Marxism, whatever it may be. But the vast majority of people are persuaded under the guise of good intention. These are good-hearted people. And what appeals to them is these ideals of a perfectly equal world. Let's say a world without gun, a world where we don't need police. These are things that people look at. And if they're very empathetic and they're very sensitive and they're very drawn in by these things, they go, yeah, I really want to support this because I believe in this idealistic world. They can't disconnect themselves from the reality of what's going on. I mean, you hear the term a lot, useful idiots. I hate to say it. In some way, that's what it is because
right.
they're not.
It is that way. That's a great comparison.
Yeah. So that's what we see. We see a bunch of people out there who are going out and they also just want to be a part of something. They want to feel like they have value.
The title of, I mean, you're in show business. The title of James Dean's famous old movie is kind of perfect. It's like rebels without a cause, right? They have no real cause. They don't even know what they're protesting for, so many of them. And yet they just want to be part of something. It's a sad state of affairs that we all feel, you know, so like empty that we need to just join a movement, even if it's not the right movement.
They're tearing down statues of Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah.
They're tearing down Holocaust memorials.
Right.
And I mean, what does that have to do with anything?
It has nothing to do with anything. And the most ironic of them all would be Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? The person who freed the slaves and brought the country together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just so. It's
well, unless you look at it from your perspective or our perspective that we were talking about earlier, which there are people who have the intention of rebuilding kind of the foundation of America. And if you look at it from that perspective, the best way to do that is to erase history.
Right.
And then to destabilize, cause anarchy, all these things happening. If you look at it from a kind of structured point of view, I recently talked about how there was a attack on objective truth, how society has systematically, our groups in society have systematically broke down objective truth under the guise of social justice or of political correctness or whatever this may be, to the point where, you know, multiple things no longer have meaning. Across the board, the idea that, far as to say this, there was a male rapist who identified as a female and got put into a female prison and raped and sexually assaulted 22 more women.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
A true story. People can go look on Snopes. Yeah, you know, Snopes is arguably more left leaning. They can go research this.
Snopes is funded by George Soros, I hear. So you can't believe anything anymore, even they are putting it out. Right.
And so if you look at how we did, so because everything is relative, right? If gender truly doesn't exist, if biology does not matter on any level, then these things are acceptable. There's an MMA fighter who went as a male, could not make it as a male fighter, terrible fighter as a male, became a female MMA fighter, fought a pretty high level female fighter and cracked and broke her skull in their fight. And I mean, so there's certain objective truths. Reality will not allow you to play this game. But if you keep trying to push it and push it and push it, and there's obviously people trying to do this across the board with very different, every aspect of society is under attack. We don't need police. Everything, history is kind of revisionist now.
Well, you know, what's interesting about the we don't need police, do you know who stands to be the biggest victim of defunding police department? Women.
Yeah.
I mean, the savage nut jobs out there can just run roughshod and pillage and rape and do whatever they want if the police aren't there to stop it. And then you look at the gun rights issue related to this. If people can't have guns and they can't have police, what's the irony here?
The biggest argument the left has always made is that the government could never be corrupt enough again. Like, they always laugh at you when you say, listen, I believe in gun rights because I believe that fundamentally the Constitution was right in that the population should be able to protect itself against a potentially oppressive government. And that kind of keeps things in check. And they've always laughed, made jokes about people who say that, oh yeah, you're going to do this, you're going to take over this. What do we see today? That argument cannot be used anymore. Right. What do we see? The push for no more police. We see autonomous zones. We see mass mobs going to people's homes. And how are they not taking over the home? I don't know if you saw this video recently of that little old couple who came out of their home. They're very rich. They live on an estate. People went into their front gate, went onto their property. We're talking about a mob of people threatened to burn down their home, kill their dog, and do all this stuff. The husband came out with an AR. The wife came out with, I don't know what kind of gun. It was a little handgun. And they were able to hold people off. And so you're not going to convince me at this. And this, by the way, the mob is being protected by politicians at this point. So the government is endorsing mob mentality.
Right.
You're not going to tell me that guns, from this day forward, I never want to hear that argument again, that the government could be so corrupt that we need guns.
So why is the government enforcing mob mentality? I have my own ideas, but I'd like to hear yours first.
Well, I mean, it's, for one, just objectively speaking, if I were to look at the timing, it's an election year.
Right.
Right. The more chaos they can cause right now, the more they can put
hurt
it on
the incumbent. You're right. Yeah.
And so I believe that's part of it. I also believe that there are, like we said, there's people who want to destabilize the country. I can see, again, objectively speaking, I see how multiple areas of the country have been attacked. It's on a social level, or art even has been attacked. It's controlled throughout. If you look at school, the notion that school is objective at this point, to me, education is false. We have 95% far left professors. The type of stuff taught in schools to my own niece and nephews that I've seen is, so I believe beyond just the police and beyond just, like we spoke about earlier, I believe there's ill intent behind it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, nobody's allowed to stop the party of their own voters. So the party being the riots, and look who that voting bloc is, right? It's all Democrat. It's 100% Democrat voting bloc. So, you know, those are all, that's Joe Biden's biggest campaign rally ever.
$4 billion Black Lives Matter raised, I think, in 2 weeks. $4 billion.
Wow.
And by the way, their page, the money goes directly to Act Blue or whatever that thing is, which funds the Democrats. Right. I mean, that's why no politician is willing to speak up. If you look at politicians respond to their motivation, which is to be the next party in control or to have control. If they see an organization, let's say Black Lives Matter, whatever the organization is that can help them gain control, that has power in society, that has social sway, they will allow it to do whatever it needs to do because that will get them to where they want to be. And we do see that.
It's a sad state of affairs. Logic and reason has left the building. What are we going to do? I mean, there seems to be this massive lack. You know, when I go on social media and I read these posts, occasionally I engage in them. I mean, for the past 12 years that I've been on social media, I mean, I am astonished at the lack of critical thinking ability. Just cannot think critically about anything. Like when I went to school, you took debate and critical thinking as a way to improve your critical thinking skills so that you could understand how to reason things and know what actual absolute truth was. But now that
no, now it's about indoctrinating people.
Yeah.
I mean, 50% of millennials or more don't believe in freedom of speech. I mean, it's not about exchange of ideas. It's not about debate. And so I don't know what you do. What I do see, which is definitely the wrong answer, is complacency. I see people scared to speak up. We've kind of given up on our freedom of speech, not out of, you know, legislation or regulation against it. We've given up out of it, out of social pressure.
Right.
So we're just caving in. We're saying we're being weak about this. People should be out on the street being willing to say what they think. People should be out on the internet being willing to say what they think. At this point, the reason people don't is because no one else is willing to do it. So if no one else is willing to do it and you got to be the first one, you're scared your life's going to be ruined because we see this every time someone speaks out. I mean, I feel like it was a risk just putting out a positive video of police. I felt like that could destroy my company. I felt like my family could actually be in danger. My brother called me up. He goes, look, people may dox you for doing this. They make, you know, this. And that's the truth. That's the world we live in nowadays.
But aren't these the tolerant people?
Well, that's the hypocrisy of it. They're not actually, of course, we know they're not actually tolerant. And they do it under the guise of being tolerant. They do it under the guise of being the moral authority on a subject. And so it's very dangerous because it's not blatant. You know, you look at, let's say, a far right white supremacist racist guy. He's kind of transparent. He's telling you what he thinks.
Right,
he's
exactly. That's a good point.
He's not trying to sway you through a, you know, like what you see on the left is this mainstream ideology of obsession with race, of obsession with identity, of anti-capitalist ideals, of whatever they have to do to have control. And in my opinion, that is not the right way to approach things. The danger is that it's appealing to a mass percentage of the population because, again, it's under the guise of an ideal. When I hear the term Black Lives Matter and I look at the history of racism in the country and the history of problems we've had in the country, I go, yes, absolutely.
But it's not just the U.S. They act as though the U.S. is the only country that did that. I mean, you know, there are slaves today in the modern world. The biggest slave traders were in the Middle East. I mean, you know, it's like, why does the U.S. is the only one willing to sort of let people criticize them? You know, it's like, where's the criticism of the whole world? Listen, look at folks. The reality is that the whole world used to be barbaric. Okay.
Yes.
And, you know, some countries grew out of that barbarianism faster than others. I mean, none of what happened in history was nice or fair or decent, but look, the evil white Christians that were the founders of this country, they came up with the Constitution. That was like at the time unheard of, the whole concept that you would have a document that would actually take rights away from government and give them to people. Like nobody ever thought of that before. Maybe the Magna Carta did that a little bit, but you know, I mean, that was revolutionary. Okay.
It's the single greatest document in history.
Of course it is. Yeah, I agree.
And so, again, I agree with you that we're hypercritical of the U.S. I don't mind us being hypercritical of ourselves to improve. I mind when it becomes an overtaken and gets used as a way to help destroy the great things we have today, when it becomes an attack on freedom of speech.
There's no balance. They never talk about the good things that these people did, like gave them trial by jury. Okay.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. It's truly amazing.
No, we should be celebrating the good as well. I can't disagree with that either.
Yeah.
My fundamental point was, though, that when they use the language they use, then it is hard to challenge because it's a game of language. It's a game of, well, you don't care about Black Lives? And you're like, I do care about Black Lives. You know, I care about, I don't want to see people suffering if people are suffering. And then they go, well, then if you don't care about Black Lives Matter, you don't care about Black Lives. They've made it so that it's impossible to criticize under the guise of, like I said, under the guise of being socially fair, or this is what is right. And so it becomes very hard to have any free exchange of idea.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to win this debate through logic, that's for sure. Frankly, I did a show last week, and I think we're going to see a real secession movement in this country, sadly. But I think that's really going to take hold through all this pressure. So we'll see where it goes. Give out your website or whatever you want so people can follow you or learn more.
The watch company is eggardwatches.com, eggardwatches.com. And if they go on YouTube, and they can see the Speak Truth video I did, which is very good, if they just type in Speak Truth on Eggard on YouTube. And if they want to see the new platform we started, it's Speak Truth USA, one word, on YouTube. And they'll see videos, interviews with police, everything.
Excellent. And let's hope the thought police at YouTube and Google don't take that down. Well,
they've restricted it, but well, that's fine.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It really is. Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.